Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. I don't have to tell you that people don't agree on much these days. The whole idea of living in unity within a society is a fading fantasy. But not all of this division is a bad thing. It can even be a God thing, as we'll learn from Dr. Jennings today on his broadcast. He joins us via Skype. Dr. Jennings, let's talk unity versus division. What do we need to know?
Let's look at this from, obviously, in our show, a biblical worldview.
Yes.
And as God created humanity in Eden, it was his design that human beings live in unity with each other and with God in the bonds of love and trust. But as we know, sin entered, and as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they not only ran and hid from God because they were afraid, their unity of marital harmony was broken, and Adam blamed Eve, and so forth. And then the first children in the first family, they had division with Cain murdering Abel. And as we have the early accounts of the human species, there was further division where one righteous man on the earth and his family was left, and the rest of the world had united in rebellion against God, and God put that world to sleep in the flood. Mm-hmm. And in the aftermath of that, what do we find is that they were starting to rebel against God again, and God introduced some divisions that were intended to help prevent us from uniting together in sin and rebellion against heaven. He confused the languages.
Yes.
So we couldn't communicate effectively. It spread them around the planet. And so the different culture and race groups came about. And God did this to allow the plan of salvation to be realized and prevent us from uniting together in a worldwide rebellion against heaven. So the language, tribal, racial, national, and ethnic differences, these are not evil. These have no bearing on our salvation. They were interventions by God of heaven to prevent a worldwide global coalition against heaven from forming again. So we are not to divide ourselves based on those lines. Mm-hmm. Those lines, as and the Bible tells us, we look at the second coming of Christ and all things are made one again, that we read in Revelation that there's a saved group from every nation, tribe, language, kindred, and people, that we all come together again in unity, all united with Christ at the center. And so those types of divisions do not prevent us from uniting when we put Christ at the center. Mm-hmm. But if we don't put Christ at the center, then oftentimes those types of things are inflamed by our own struggles with fear and selfishness. But the Bible tells us that we are to divide ourselves. We are to be active and purposeful in dividing ourselves amongst people. And the Bible divisions go like this: the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the tares, the fruitful vine and the withered vine, the pure woman and the harlot, the faithful and the unfaithful, the holy and the unholy, the saved and the lost. In other words, we are to be purposeful and intentional in, to the best of our ability, separating ourselves from those who are rebelling actively, not struggling to overcome in a faith relationship and struggling with sin, but those who are in rebellion against God and refuse to cooperate with God for the transformation of their lives.
Now, when you say we're supposed to separate ourselves and we're supposed to divide ourselves away from these people, what do you mean? Are we supposed to sit in judgment on them? Are we supposed to move physically away from them? Are we supposed to heap judgments on them? What are we supposed to do?
So 2 Corinthians 6, Paul writes, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteous and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of God." Then he goes on to say, "Therefore come out from them and be separate." So this idea, I think we should be purposeful. If we were starting a business, we would not want to go into business with somebody who was a non-believer, someone who is in rebellion against God. Those individuals will have the survival methods of this world as their primary motive. They will struggle with principles of honesty and integrity and loyalty and faithfulness. It doesn't mean that Christians don't struggle with those things as well, but a Christian who's converted has in their heart to overcome all those foibles and will take ownership, will repent, will seek to make things right, will seek to live at peace with people rather than seek to live in conflict with people. sheep and goats, wheat and tares, selfish versus loving. These character traits are not differentiated based on race or gender or national origin or language. So those types of divisions have no bearing in our separation from people.
Okay.
What does have bearing are those who have a righteous versus an unrighteous heart, who are honest versus dishonest, who are loyal versus cheat.
Yeah.
These are the attributes that the Bible tells us that we should make purposeful and intentional decisions in discriminating. We should discriminate. If you are deciding who you're going to marry and you have identified a possible life partner is an active, ongoing, dishonest cheat, you should discriminate and say they're not fit to be my spouse. If you're about to go into business and you know that the person you're going in business with is actively embezzling from their current employer, you should discriminate and not go into business with that person. This is what the Bible is teaching us, not just in our marriage relationships, but in our friendships. If you have somebody that you meet in school and they seem friendly, but you discover that they have a shoplifting ring that they participate in and they want you to hang out with them after school and join their shoplifting ring, you should immediately discriminate and no longer associate with those people. Paul wrote to Timothy and said the following, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, in other words, selfish, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. There's a reason. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts good character.
Mm-hmm.
So we are to discriminate in our associations, make purposeful and intelligent choices to separate and be apart from the intimacies of life. That doesn't mean you don't go into a particular store or fill your car up with gas at a particular gas station because that gas station might be owned by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
No, you still walk through the aisles and pathways of life interacting with people who are unconverted and so forth, but that doesn't mean you invite them into the circles of your trust and intimate connections.
Okay, I've got it now. We've got us over here and we've got them over there. And what separates us is that character traits that they are showing that they are not to be trusted. They are not to be befriended. They are not to be part of our lives. But then along comes God and says, go into all the world and preach the gospel unto all people, nation, tongue, and people. How do we do that when we're supposed to be separate?
Did I just suggest that we don't associate with people?
No, you suggested that we get away from them.
No, I didn't suggest that. What I suggested is we don't let them into our circles of intimacy. We don't trust them. We don't build relationships with them. We don't go into partnership. We don't let them be part of our boards, of our businesses. We are very scrutinizing in the people we hire to work for us and represent us.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have certain qualities of character, then they are not really qualified to fulfill the various roles that we would put them in. And so that is the point I'm trying to make here. As Christians, we have a higher standard, but yet we see those who are not yet Christian struggling with a terminal spiritual illness that we also struggle with. And we have a remedy that can transform their hearts from rebellion into loyal love to God and transform an untrustworthy person into a trustworthy person. So we take, that's the gospel you're mentioning. So we want to take this remedy that can free people from the control of fear and selfishness that dominates their life and causes all these problems, but bring them back into harmony with God. And then we can have unity, but we can only have unity when we're united on common principles, love, trust, loyalty, faithfulness, basically the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes, yes.
But I want to point out something, though, and that is that Satan has a two-step deception that he really deceives much of the world into, and that is to divide along lines that are inconsequential. What Satan will do is, instead of dividing along honesty and dishonesty, loyalty, disloyalty, love versus selfishness, in other words, these traits of godly character versus destructive character, Satan will introduce these innocuous differences like race, gender, language, ethnicity, national origins that have no bearing on the quality of the person or on salvation, and introduce them and associate with these different things like economic income and so forth, some type of value or privilege or superiority, inferiority based on one of these innocuous things, which inflames fear and selfishness and jealousy. And then he incites people who believe these lies to do actual real injustice. Mm. And so we look through human history, and based on these things like race or gender or economic status, there'll be these ideas introduced that some people actually have more value or more worth or have more right, like the divine right of rulers. And there's an actual somehow difference between the royal class and the commoners. And these types of divisions along these innocuous lines result in all types of real injustice, slavery, Jim Crow, aristocratic oppression of the commoners, male oppression of females through history, and so forth. And so this is a step one deception. Get people to believe the lie that these types of differences actually make one better or inferior to somebody else. And then step two, after he has people doing injustice along these innocuous lines, then he gets people to seek justice, not by putting Jesus at the center, not by having a new heart and right spirit, not by loving other people more than themselves, not by actually caring and practicing God's methods. Oh, no. By putting the injustice that his step one deceived people have done in the center, racism, sexism, and exploitations of all kinds, and focus on that and create outrage, and then seek social justice through the application of law, coercion, force, and punishment upon people who we perceive as not living up to our social standards. And this is the second stage, and this is even more diabolical, because the people using the power of the state to punish those they see doing wrong, not to simply restrain wrongdoers, but to advance what they say is their social justice, they will think they're doing good. They think they're advancing God's kingdom because they're opposing evil, when in reality they are spreading evil, corrupting character, hardening hearts, and obstructing the gospel message of Jesus Christ.
Well, if you could take what you just said in the last 13 minutes and put it down into one sentence, what would you say, Dr. Jennings?
Unity comes putting Christ in the center and focusing on his methods, principles, and love, whereas division comes when we put our pain and hurt and desire for revenge or retaliation in the center and use human means to try and achieve it.
And I have a feeling that Come and Reason Ministries exists for that reason. In the 60 seconds we have left, how are you and your ministry addressing that problem, Dr. Jennings?
So we have a new magazine that is being released called Critical Race Theory, exposing the lies while advancing the gospel, mm-hmm. showing that only the gospel of Jesus Christ brings unity amongst all people. When we focus on anything other than Jesus, we inflame the divisions, inflame the jealousies, the envy, the hurts, and the fears, and cause more social division.
All right. Comeandreason.com is the website, listener, where you can find more information about that new material that's available. Also, a lot of other resources available at comeandreason.com. I invite you to stop by there and peruse and look around and be informed. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Dr. Jennings, thank you so much for sharing with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Charles.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.